My name's David Huff.
And I'm Ed Tilton.
And you're listening to Startling Confessions of a Recovered Addict.
Welcome, everybody, to Startling Confessions of a Recovered Addict. Today, we got a fascinating guy, Duke Rumley. And Duke is the founder of Sober and Fun Entertainment. They're an organization designed to bring people in, especially young people, for concerts, for sporting events, for various kinds of entertainment, and they create a sober and safe environment for those people. And so we will jump to Duke Rumley to hear his startling confession. Welcome, and Duke, how about if we dive right in and you give us your startling confession of a recovered addict?
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Ed, for this invitation to bare my soul and see if I can get some startling revelations. But, you know, I thought I was just a nice kid. You know, I grew up in South Bend, Indiana, was the oldest of five. Life was just kind of going along. And then I had this intense experience with alcohol. Snuck into a Notre Dame apartment at Notre Dame Apartments, Notre Dame party, and told people I was older, gave them a couple bucks, and had that buffet style, as much alcohol as I wanted, and got into some beer chugging contests. And then this happened, my mind changed, and I was forever wanted to get back to this spot, because I went from being kind of this scared kid who was so wound up to being okay, relaxed, okay in my skin. And then I got to this other point where I was now a Notre Dame student. And then after more drinking, I became a Notre Dame football player. And that was how I felt until I blacked out and showed up to school on Monday. And then everyone told me that I went around the party and told everyone I loved them, which is not a real cool thing to do as like a sophomore in high school. Then I went outside, threw up, got rolled in my own puke, and had chew spit on me. So a lot of downside with that first drinking experience. But, you know, my mind had been altered and I didn't realize it. But from that point on, you know, my life was all about how do we get back to that spot? And anytime I didn't feel okay, my mind would remind me like, hey, we know what works. And it was kind of this dictator of my life. You know, we're coming up on Super Bowl weekend of 88. I was 20, went down to Nogales, Mexico with some fraternity brothers because tequila was 25 cents and Corona was 25 cents. Long story short, had a brownout, missed most of the night because of that tequila, and got arrested and thrown in jail with one of my fraternity brothers because he had fake $20 bills on him. Mm-hmm. So mom gets a phone call. She flies down. She starts negotiating my release. Took her a week to get me out of jail. And she looks at me and says, look, fly straight. I was like, okay, I know what that means. Let me just finish up the semester. I missed a week of school. I couldn't go to this big party in San Diego that people kept telling me about. And I couldn't go until I saw the keg get rolled onto the RV. Mm. And then this happened, right? My mind changed its own mind. And I get on that RV and we go to San Diego and we have a good time. And Saturday night, I leave with a different fraternity brother and we have a good time, come back Sunday, and the RV is gone. And now, I mean, this is a week after being arrested in Mexico, right? I'm on my best behavior and I'm stuck in San Diego. I'm however many miles away from Tucson where I was going to school. And my buddy is like, hey, I got a credit card. We'll take a Greyhound bus home tomorrow morning. Great, problem solved. We go out drinking that night. I take a drink, I get thirstier. I have to take that second drink. It feels like I'm in first gear going into second gear. I brown out. I come to and there's a smoke alarm going off. And the smoke alarm, I look around and I don't know if you're ever coming out of a blackout with like that adrenaline from something like that. But it turns out I'm on a Greyhound bus. I'm in the bathroom with a joint in my hand, looking in the mirror with the smoke alarm going off. And I don't know, I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. And I throw the joint in the bathroom. I open up the door and I look out and I'm going to try to figure out how to sneak to my seat. And it turns out it's not a Greyhound bus. Ed, I am on a 737 airplane and I have 30 rows of people staring back at me and they want to know why the alarms are going off on this airplane. Why is there smoke on this plane? And I am more shocked than anyone else on that plane, right? I'm like, what is going on? And that's just kind of me not drinking, right? I plan on not drinking. My brain changes its own mind and I will take that drink. And for me, just good things never follow, right? It was waking up in strange places, embarrassing people around me. So you would think that might be kind of the end of the story, but no, that was my sophomore year at the University of Arizona. I came home, lived in South Bend at my parents' house when I was 20 years old, turned 21. And they got to watch me drink for another year. Mm-hmm. And I'm slowly flunking out of other colleges. I am, you know, hanging out with kids younger than me. I'm a bartender because that's the only skill I thought I had. And kind of with the threat of being kicked out of the house, my grand plan was to couch surf, or I was reaching out to Club Med telling them I could be a windsurf instructor. And those were the only skills I thought I had. And like on my own accord, I didn't think I could make it. And that was my last year of drinking and doing drugs. And I had shown up to some 12-step meetings leading up to that point. And I was glad there was a place I could be honest about alcohol and drugs, but that was all I could really give it. I mean, I wanted the program where you can quit getting in trouble, right? That's all I wanted. Is how do I stop the trouble? I didn't want to give up the drinking and the drugs. And I really felt like, I was on Team Budweiser and there's no way I could leave that team to go to this crazy other group that was abstinent based. But that was the transition. And finally that day came and, you know, kind of the thinking was, will life be okay without alcohol, right? Maybe. I couldn't picture it, but I thought maybe it might be better without it.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's amazing story. I mean, jail in Mexico didn't stop it. Finding yourself on the back of an airplane smoking with everybody staring at you, that doesn't stop it. What do you think happened that allowed you to make that transition? Boom, something changed. What was that?
So, you know, it's really strange because nobody's good at it, right? AA is not good at it. Treatment's not good at it. NA is not good at it. That getting stopped, is it a magic wand moment from God? You know, the staying stopped, there's a lot of things that help a great deal, right? We know that. But that getting stopped, and I've been around it enough until somebody is stopped. You know, I joked that my mom prayed me sober, and there might be a lot of truth to that, right? I don't know. You know, up to May 15th, I could not picture myself without drugs or alcohol. After May 15th, 1989, it's been 31 years in a row. Like, I didn't see it coming. I remember thinking maybe I'll be sober a couple months max is all I could really see. And to this day, my personality is not a, you know, rule follower or stay with something super consistent. So what was that moment? You know, I think I was in enough pain. I was a little bit willing. I went to treatment back in the 80s lasted like 8 or 10 days. And then you left. It was more kind of a detox, go to AA kind of a treatment center more than anything. And I really figured out, just kind of a willing to be willing kind of a moment, and really, kind of that transition. You know, I was lucky, supportive parents. I went to a college. I was a new environment, and open enough to try 12 steps, and it really worked for me.
Awesome. And so Duke, you've changed quite a bit since your run-ins with the Federales and the Air Force flight attendant, or the flight attendant. So what are you up to now?
Well, in some aspect, I haven't changed as much as you think, right? I mean, you still have that key personality traits of who you really are. And I am really good at throwing parties and having fun. So I started a nonprofit with my daughter 3 years ago called Sober AF Entertainment. And you guys know what AF stands for, right? Sober and Fun Entertainment.
Right. Yeah.
So, but we create sober safe zones at music festivals, concerts, and sporting events. So I had this little nudge from God. And that's what we're kind of taught, right? Trust God. And I kind of had this moment where, you know, if someone gave me the magic wand and $1 million, what would be most impactful? And it felt like what we're missing is from day 30 to day 365, that first year, sober life is super awkward. And I know for me, I was big into the Grateful Dead. There was a sober support group inside the Grateful Dead. And just kind of that idea, I could still go to a Grateful Dead show and stay sober and to have fun, if you had a sober wingman, made a huge difference. So we started this nonprofit. We've hosted 64 events, Nuggets, Abs, Rocky, CU football, traveled the country at some big football games, with the thinking kind of build a tailgate beforehand of community and then use the nonprofit status to get half off seats. So a lot of success, really fun. COVID hits, we've pivoted to being virtual, and virtual sucks, right? In comparison to the real thing, I would much rather be with you guys. But considering we don't have that option, this is as good as it can be. So we had 40,000 people watch our events last summer. We had three music festivals. Mm-hmm. And I think we really introduced this idea of a sober to a new community. And now we're doing this year a bi-weekly music event on Twitch, where we have two music artists and then a 5-minute interview with different recovery people. This Thursday, we're doing one, and it's the CEO of the Association of Recovery in Higher Education. So Tim Rabalt runs that group, and they're all the collegiate recovery community guys. And then Super Bowl weekend, the one that I missed, we're going to be in Tampa with former NFL players, with Dr. Drew. We have Art Kleinschmidt, who was the former deputy director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and three artists, music artists, for 3 hours. Actually, it's a 5-hour party, of which 3 hours will be virtual. So if you need a little Super Bowl party, pre-party, from 1 to 4 Colorado time, we Mountain Standard Time, we are having a virtual sober support party on our website, on YouTube, and also on Twitch under Sober AF Entertainment.
Wow.
Duke, thank you. Great, great story. You are such a wonderful example of, I can live this life sober and be successful and have fun. And it's so exciting to hear that. Sure appreciate you coming by and